Good evening, everyone. It's almost maybe an hour or so Sabbath to come here. Happy almost Sabbath to all of you. If you have any prayer requests, please place them in the room, and we're going to start with prayer. I also have many unspokens. If you're ready, please get on your knees, and we're going to start to pray. Please bow our hearts. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for blessing us and cleansing us every day. Please forgive us for our shortcomings, for the sins that we have committed against you this week, and we ask for your mercy, Lord, and thank you so much for your long suffering and guidance towards us and mercy. We would like to present all our prayers to you, and thank you so much for answering our prayers, whether the answer be yes or no. We want to praise your name for opening and closing the doors, for you only know what's good for us. Please bless our prayers with in regards to healing physically and spiritually, and please bless us with this study tonight, and that we may be blessed from your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for everything with the help of the Holy Spirit. In the name of our Savior and King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good evening again, and happy almost Sabbath. Pastor Nicholas will not be in tonight. Please keep him in prayer in regard to to get more sleep, as I myself need more sleep as well. Most of us do, because the enemy has been attacking us, losing some sleep. So please let's keep everybody, each other in prayer. So as we go on to the study, we're not going to continue the regular study Friday night that we always do with Pastor Nicholas. So we're just going to study something else tonight. This is in regard to the testimony. The title is The Testimony for the Church. And this is from Review and Herald, April 22nd, 1862. And we just would like to study this in regard to just to see where we at in our walks. And it's always a blessing to be reminded by the Lord just to see where we at. Sometimes we get carried away while we are so busy with the things that we do in a daily basis. Sometimes we get carried away and forget the things that we need to remember. So we're gonna start reading paragraph 1 here. I have been shown the high and responsible position God's people should occupy. They are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, and must walk even as Christ walked. They will come up through much tribulation. The present is a time of warfare and trial. Our Savior says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also have overcame. And am set down with my Father in his throne. The reward is not given to all who profess to be followers of Christ, but those who overcome, even as he overcame. So before we continue here, It says here, the reward is not given to all who profess to be follower of Christ. There's so many who profess to be follower of Christ. 44,000 denominations who profess to be follower of Christ. But the majority will receive the mark of the beast for keeping Sunday holy when that becomes a national Sunday law. So in order to become a true Christian and to be walking with Christ, it says here, we must study the life of Christ and learn what it is to confess Him before the world. No one can confess Christ unless the mind and spirit of Christ are in Him. The fruits of the Spirit are manifested outwardly, and these are a confession of Christ. As our dear pastors in the Seventh-day Remnant Church always mention, that sometimes we are the Bible. We can be the Bible that people can read. They're not opening their Bibles, but they are observing the way we talk, the way we, how we deal with our neighbors, making sure that we're not using deception against them, outsmarting them. Unlike those who are confessing Jesus while denying His position as the second supreme being in the Godhead, many who profess to be followers of Christ are into the teaching of not believing Jesus as a creator. They only labeled Him as created being. They confess Jesus as their Lord. How can you confess Him as your Lord when you deny Him lowering His position? And worse yet is denying the Holy Spirit that Jesus will send in His name, that the Father will send in Christ's name when He was here 2,000 years ago. And the Lord Jesus promised that to all of us when we became follower of Jesus Christ, our King, that He will send the Holy Spirit to guide us, to be the Comforter. So despising the Holy Spirit by not acknowledging Him, and the Holy Spirit can give the fruit of the Spirit to any man. So by despising the Holy Spirit and saying that it's only a breath, a form of breath, or Holy Spirit doesn't exist, how can these individuals can receive the fruits of the Spirit? Many in these last days have the form of godliness, but denying the power of God. It is because due to disobedience to God's commandments, make it impossible for them to see the errors of their ways. The lip service which the majority of the rich or poor, but it doesn't show any fruits of being follower of Jesus. Humility is one of the best attributes of being a true Christian. The fruits of the Spirit must be manifested in our daily practices, in our lives, that will show difference from who we were before we met Christ. We have a mountain of trials to overcome as a church. Studying the life of Christ will give us an encouragement to cling more to Jesus as the time of trouble approaches. And not knowing the life of Christ will not help us to walk like Him. And we will be in a heap of trouble if we don't study His life and put it to practice now. We go on to paragraph number 2 on the same topic. In order to confess Christ, we must have Christ to confess. No one can truly confess Christ unless the mind and the spirit of Christ live in Him. If a form of godliness or an acknowledgement of the truth were always a confession of Christ, we might say, broad is the way that leadeth unto life, and many there be that find it. And by the way, we're just reading the quote here, so somebody, you know how it is, like people take out of the recording and say we're changing the word of God. We're just reading in here. So just make sure. We must understand what it is to confess Christ, or wherein we deny him. It is possible with our lips to confess Christ, yet in our works to deny him. How many of us have denied Christ by the way we act, the way we speak in a daily basis? You know, sometimes we make mistakes. That's why the Lord gave us 1 John 1:9. We make mistakes and we confess and repent and ask him to help us to become better and better each day. If we have forsaken all for Christ, we shall manifest in our lives humility. Our conversation will be heavenly, our conduct blameless. The powerful purifying influence of the truth in the soul and the character of Christ exemplified in the life are a confession of Christ. So we will read this again. The powerful purifying influence of truth in the soul and the character of Christ exemplified in the life are a confession of Christ. So, in our conduct to each other, in our conduct to those who are outside of the faith, even to those who are outside of the, even to those who left, we are just obeying God's word, not because we are snobby people. We are just, for example, Matthew 18, verse 17, that sometimes we get accused of being holier than thou. But we are just following what Christ said in verse 17 of chapter 18 of Matthew. Continuing, if the words of eternal life are sown in our hearts, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit is righteousness and peace. This is why it's very important for us to study God's word daily. That's how the word of God is sown. But if we are not serious in our walks and just reading it surface, some kind of surface reading, just to make it look like superficial, oh, I read my Bible today, I did my duty. And we all know that's not how it works. We have to eat it. Just like when you eat our daily meal twice or three times a day, we have to sit down and take our time to chew upon it. The same as when we read it, to make sure that we understand comparing scriptures with scriptures and that the fruit of righteousness will be imputed to us by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, being man, the powerful purifying influence of the truth is like being manifested in a daily life activities, either being at home or at work, school. Continuing here, we may deny Christ in our life by the love of ease, love of self, jesting and joking, and by seeking honor of the world. Many in the world today, especially those rich and famous athletes, for example, they love the honor of the world, but at the same time, they want to be called Christians while they want to gain all that money and fame. But we cannot worship God and mammon. Now continuing here, we may deny him in outward appearance by a proud look or costly apparel or by conformity to the world. We shall not be able to exhibit in our character the life of Christ or the sanctifying influence of the truth, only by constant watchfulness and persevering and almost unceasing prayer. Have any of you attended churches before you became a Sabbath keeper? When people have looked down on you just because you're not having an expensive apparel as you walk in the church? Or you're only driving a beater car parked next to a Mercedes or BMW and people look down on you for driving an old car, but your car is clean, well maintained, and that is what matters in the sight of God. It says here, only by constant watchfulness and persevering and almost unceasing prayer, the examples of King David and Prophet Daniel praying three times a day to make sure that their relationship with God is going strong daily. Continuing paragraph 3. I was shown that many drive Christ from their families by an impatient, passionate spirit. Such have something to overcome in this respect. The human family was presented before me, enfeebled. Every generation has been growing weaker, and disease of every form visit the human race. Thousands of poor mortals are dragging out a miserable existence, some with deformed, sickly bodies, shattered nerves, and gloomy minds. Satan's power upon the human family increases if the Lord should not soon come and destroy his power. The earth will soon be depopulated. Yeah, sometimes there are many, we may be sometimes become impatient with our unbelieving families, for example. And we understand that we are to prove our love to Christ by showing our families the love of Jesus to them, to prove them how we love Christ. And as the Bible says, there's a Bible verse that says, "He that loveth father and mother is not worthy of me." There's a Bible verse somewhere in Matthew, one of those four Gospels. But at the same time, we cannot force the truth in their throats every time we see them. But in conversation, we can show the love of Christ by showing them how much the Lord changed us, by helping them in some ways that is not sinful to the Lord. With much prayer to God, and His perfect timing will come, that our family will, unbelieving families will understand why we are sharing the truth to them. But also we are to remember Titus 3:10. It's Titus 3:10 being our duty to not keep talking to them. If they completely disregard it, the Lord will send them another person to reach them. It is because of sin the human families become weaker and feeble, because of the poor diet on the table, and also the lack of knowledge. The reason why people are eating poor diet on the table is because they don't have any knowledge of Genesis 1:29. By rejecting the invitation of God to keep His commandments and His mercy, and that will be equal to a complete destruction physically, mentally, and spiritually. Paragraph 4, I would like to share this. I was shown that Satan's power is especially exercised upon the people of God. Many were presented before me in a doubting, despairing condition. The infirmities of the body affect the mind. A cunning and powerful enemy attempts our steps and employs his strength and skill in trying to turn us out of the right way. And it is often the case that the people of God are not under watch, therefore are ignorant of his devices. He works by means which is best conceal himself from view. he often gains his object. So, as here, it's very clear that the paragraph 4 talks about how Satan attacks this church. We must be doing something right in the sight of the Lord. That's why even those who left are trying to focus on us. We're not millionaires. Most of us are only getting an hour wages, an hour wage that pay our bills. So why focus on us? You want us to tithe to you guys? How many people are not yet keeping Sabbath? And yet, you're trying to focus on the side issue. You're trying to focus on the side issue that can be explained by the Lord when we get home. It is our duty to let them know the importance of the Sabbath keeping of the fourth commandment, the seal of the living God, versus the mark of the beast, Sunday keeping. If we all just go out there and warn the people of this impending time of trouble, Jacob's time of trouble, how many more people will be keeping Sabbath now? But instead, if we make videos just to prove something that we are right, or we should be reading this than that, or we should be reading this. But I got a question. We have a question for you, whoever do such things. Are you well versed on the Bible? Are you completely ignoring the Bible? The 66 books. How many hours you spend studying the Bible than focusing on the side issue? But moving on the next paragraph here. Brethren have engaged in a patent rights and other enterprises, and have included and have induced others, like persuading others, to interest themselves, who could not bear the perplexity and care of such business. Their anxiety and overtaxed minds seriously affect their already diseased bodies, and they then become desponding, which increases to despair. They lose all confidence in themselves and think God has forsaken them, and they dare not believe that God will be merciful to them. These poor souls will not be left to the control of Satan. They will make their way through the gloom, and their trembling faith will again fasten upon the promises of God, and He will deliver them and turn their sorrow and mourning into peace and gladness. But such, I was shown, must learn by the things they suffer to let patent rights and these various enterprises alone. They should not suffer even their brethren to flatter them, to entangle themselves with any such enterprise, for their anticipation will not be realized. And then they are thrown upon the enemy's battlefield unarmed for the conflict. So, if professing to be Christians, if professing to be Christians are more focused on investing money, how to grow their money, how to become a quick millionaire in a few months, that's going to be a snare from the enemy. That's not from the Lord. Like patent rights, it's like the exclusive right to an invention. And it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 29, "Lo, this only have I found, that God had made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions." You know how curious we are as humans? we are so curious of a lot of things, and that makes us prone into sin because of our curiosity. And that's how Satan got Adam and Eve to eat that forbidden fruit. And but the Lord gave us His instruction to keep our eyes right on, not turning to the left, not to turn to the right. And also in regards to the flattering mouth, we are not to flatter each other. And in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. When someone flatters you, your pride goes up in your head. It's like a high blood pressure. The blood goes up all the way up there, and you get a stroke or something. You know, high blood pressure, and you get all those sorts of diseases. By continuing here, means which was shown me should be put into the treasury of God to advance His cause. It's worse than loss by being invested in some of these modern improvements. So modern improvements, I'm not sure if this is talking about improving your home. You want to keep with the Joneses. Like, for example, if you want your home to be afflicted by other people, to get flattered by other people. Or your home is the best looking home here around this town. Or it could be some other things, could be vehicle. So, and some people are taking a lot of loans just to make their homes look really good, buying things that they don't need. But they buy what they want. Everything that is good come from the Lord. But the Lord is testing us with small things. That if we are faithful in little, we will also be faithful in much. And that's the lesson from the Lord that we need to learn. That most of our brethren here that are really taught by the Lord how to be really good at handling means. And I praise the Lord for that. Continuing, those profess the truth and feel at liberty to engage and capable of engaging in these patent rights and inventions should not go among their brethren and make their field of operation, but go among unbelievers. So sometimes many professed Christians get sidetracked, and just to make more, I guess, more to make more money, to make their life, to make more at ease, to feel at ease of life. Let's continue here. Let not your name and profession as an Adventist. By the way, this was written in April 22nd, 1862, but it says here, let not your name and profession as an Adventist. So this is in our time. So the Adventist now, if you're an Adventist right now, and if you're not coming out yet, the probation is closed in the Seventh-day Adventist as a 9-hour church. And any believer that keep the Ten Commandments and have the faith of Jesus and being the remnant of our seed. And that's in our time. So let not your name and profession as an Adventist decoy your brethren who wish to consecrate their means to God. But go out into the world and let that class invest their means who care not for the advancement of the cause of God. Was that, I don't remember if it was thing mentioned by either Pastor Nick or Pastor Alvin, about the Seventh-day Adventists investing their money into stocks. And also I've read something about when you invest money into the stocks, just to become millionaires, like a quick millionaire. It is like burying your talent to the ground. But I forgot what this OP I found it from. But you all can look it up. You all can look it up later, and you'll see it's in somewhere in there in the original writings. Paragraph 5. Yeah, means to use in the cause of God has to be handled properly. And in the Seventh-day Remnant Church, we do not ask for money. We don't post any videos on YouTube to ask people to send us money. We pray to God to send us the means, and by which the Lord will make it apparent to use the means for the work in His perfect timing. Continue in paragraph 6. I was shown the necessity of opening the doors of our houses and hearts to the Lord. When we begin to work in earnest for ourselves and for our families, then we shall have help from God. I was shown that merely observing the Sabbath and praying morning and evening are not positive evidence that we are Christians. These outward forms may all be strictly observed, and yet true godliness be lacking. I remember when I was first listening to WTPR, I turned on the WTPR and just fall asleep because I thought that was a Sabbath. I wasn't doing anything. Turn on the WTPR and let it play until sunset. But we just have to live and learn, and praise the Lord for His mercy. It says here in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. All who profess to be Christ's followers should have command of their own spirit and not speak fretfully or impatiently. The husband and father should check that the impatient word he is about to utter. He should study the effect of his words, lest they leave sadness and a blight. So, brothers and sisters, especially for the husbands, especially for those who are going to get married, this is a good lesson from the Lord, that we all should not be fretful. We all should be take our time before we speak. Sometimes most of us come from work, and the stress from work and the frustration from your job, sometimes you take it home with you, and you pour all the frustration to your spouse and to your kids, and you start yelling at your wife for the things she did not do while you were at work. So it should be, there's a verse about husbands loving your wives, be not bitter against them. So all who profess to be Christ followers should have command of their own spirit and not speak fretfully or impatiently. The husband and father should check that the patient of word he is about to utter. He is to study the effect of his words, lest they leave sadness and blight. Next paragraph. I was shown that infirmities and disease especially affect females. Like women are so emotional, and sometimes we all have to be careful on how we approach each other. And it says here, the happiness of the family depends how much upon the wife and mother. If she is nervous and weak, and is suffered to be overtaxed with labor, the mind is depressed, for it sympathizes with the weariness of the body. And then she too often meets with cold reserve from the husband. If, every, You know, if the husband is not doing anything in the house and let, hey, is my dinner ready? Hey, can I have the glass of water? Can I have my coffee? Like, hey, husband, do you have legs? Do you have a couple of legs and two hands? The Lord bless you. Your wife was so busy doing something outside and the gardening and all sorts of work at home, and you're still asking your wife to prepare food for you? Why not get up and do something and be a good helpmeet to your wife by preparing food for you and the kids and your wife when she gets back from the outside doing gardening? That's just for example of helping each other out. Continuing here, if everything does not move off just pleasantly as he could wish, he blames the wife and mother. He does not always seem to know how to sympathize with her, and is almost wholly unacquainted with her cares and burdens. Like if a husband is so think that he's all that, like he's a very smart person, and always blame the wife for the things that she may not have done correctly. It is his job to correct in a loving way. Oh, this is how we do it. Not to blame the wife for something that very simple thing. Now to continue here, he realizes not that he is aiding the great enemy in his work of tearing down. He should, by faith in God, lift up a standard against Satan. But he seems blinded to his own interests and hers. And by the way, there's another SOP code that is not included here. I don't know exactly where it was. We push away evil angels every time we fret against each other. Whoever you are with at home, and you eventually become so angry at home, start being fretful to your kids, saying things that you are not to utter, you're pushing away the angels of the Lord and replacing, and the evil angels will come in to take over. And I continue here. He treats her with indifference. He knows not what he is doing. He is working directly against his own happiness and destroying the happiness of his family. The wife becomes desponding, discouraged. Hope and cheerfulness are gone. She goes her daily rounds mechanically because she sees her work must be done. Her lack of cheerfulness and courage is felt through the family circle. There are many miserable families like this all through the rank of Sabbath keepers. And angels bear the shameful tidings to heaven, and the recording angel makes a record of it all. The husband should manifest great interest in his family. So the husband, being the head of the family, should be the one. And the reason why the Lord put the husband in charge is to do what is right in the house. But if the husband will be the one to start breaking the rules, God's rules, then the family circle will be completely ruined. Another example, for example, a Sabbath keeper and his wife, also a Sabbath keeper, and they're not in good terms. The husband upstairs, he has his own kitchen, and the husband and the wife, she has also a kitchen downstairs. And the husband only fed the wife twice a day, giving her portion to eat. Is that right in the sight of the Lord? But before the marriage, every excitement and all the, you know, all the giggling and all that before the marriage is not about chocolate and roses all the time. It's about responsibility to each other, godly responsibility. Continuing paragraph 8. Especially should be he very, very tender of the feelings of a feeble wife. He can shut the door against much disease. Kind, cheerful, and encouraging words will prove more effective than the most healing medicines. There's a verse in the Proverbs about being happy, like happy to be good to your bones or something like that. That's, you all know what I'm talking about, but you all can post it if you remember. Forgive me if I did not remember. Yeah, kind, cheerful, encouraging words will prove more effective than those healing medicines. This will be encouraged to the heart of the desponding and discouraged. And the happiness and sunshine brought into your family by kind acts and encouraging words will pay you tenfold. And there's another, praise the Lord, there's another verse in the Proverbs. A word that fitly spoken is like apples of gold and picture of silver. Something like that. I don't know what, I'm just paraphrasing the Proverbs. Thank you, SDR Streamer. Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Praise the Lord. Yes, that's the verse. It's his name. Yeah, thank you, sister. Proverbs 17, verse 22. Sorry, I lost my... Lost my thought here. Encouraging to pay tenfold. Yes, those are the verses. So praise the Lord. Thank you for posting. The husband should remember that much of the brethren of training his children rest upon the mother. And also the reason why a lot in this society, a lot in this last days, there's a lot of single mothers. There's a lot of single mothers and single fathers because most of the marriage contracts are not, they're not supposed to marry who they were married to. But due to the fact that the world is all about the flesh, it's all about excitement without God in the middle, without Christ in the middle of the marriage. And that's what happened. So for those who are not married, be very careful to choose your companion. And also, it is an abomination to the Lord if someone in the church is trying to matchmaking you. If someone is in the church is trying to matchmake you with another brother or sister, it's an abomination to the Lord. There's an SOP code on that too. So matchmaking is not good. Let the Lord choose for you. The Lord will let you know in His time. Continuing here, this, she has much to do with molding their minds. This should call into exercise the tenderest feelings of the father, and with care should he lighten the burdens of the wife. He should encourage her to lean upon his Lord's affections and direct her mind to heaven, where there is strength and peace and a final rest for the weary. He should not come to his home with a clouded brow, but should his presence bring sunlight into the family, and should encourage his wife to look up and believe in God. Unitedly can they claim the promise of God and bring his rich blessings into the family. Unkindness, complaining, and anger shut Jesus from the dwelling. I saw that the angels of God flee. Oh, praise the Lord. This is the quote that we were talking about earlier. I saw that the angels of God will flee from a house where there are unpleasant words, fretfulness, and strife. So every time we all go home, why didn't you, for example, you ask your spouse, why didn't you do this, why didn't you do that, and you say all the words, that unpleasant words, you're so-and-so and this and this and that. You're in a heap of trouble in the sight of God. Instead of saying, oh, I'm sorry. And for example, the spouse that is receiving the unpleasant words, instead of fighting back to your spouse, try to say this instead. I think the Lord is teaching us a lesson right now. And the husband say, why is that? The enemy is attacking us by the way we are talking right now to each other. So by doing that, you will be the, you know, there's a verse in chapter 15 of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse 1, you know, by the way you answer, you don't, when somebody is angry at you, you don't answer the same manner. You answer in a loving way. So that will slow down the anger of the person that is angry. So continuing chapter 9, I'm sorry we're taking forever here. I've also been shown that there is often great failure upon the part of the wife. Now this is for the wife, this is for the spouse. You know, it's not always the husband's fault. So both 50-50 here, 50%. She does not make strong efforts to control her own spirit and make home happy. There is often fretfulness and unnecessary complaining on her part. The husband comes home from his labor, weary and perplexed, and often meets a clouded brow instead of cheerful, encouraging words. He is mortal and his affections become weaned from his wife. He loses the love of his home. His pathway is darkened and his courage is gone. He yields his self-respect and that dignity which God requires him to maintain. The husband is the head of the family, as Christ is the head of the church, and any course with the wife may pursue to lessen his influence and lead him to come down from the dignified, responsible position would have him occupy displeases God. So that's why, brothers and sisters, it is important, especially for the sisters who are seeking to get married, to learn the necessity of house chores, everything that they need to learn, because the husband will go home and he has to cook his own dinner for himself, because the wife doesn't know anything in the house. He doesn't know how to cook. I mean, she doesn't know how to cook or do laundry or anything, because she was not taught by the parents how to be a wife, for example. So it is the duty of the wife to yield her wishes and will to her husband. Both should be yielding, but preference is given in the Word of God to the judgment of the husband. So that's why the husband and the wife, they need to communicate. If a husband is having a problem in the marriage, talk to a brother in Christ. If a wife is having a problem in the marriage, talk to our sisters in Christ, the elder in the church. Do not talk to any unbelievers, for any unbelievers will give you advice from the enemy, because they do not have Christ. So it says here, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 9, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wine house. So a man would rather be single than to be married to an unbelieving, brawling woman who complains all the time and doesn't do anything. And all she does may be just swipe his credit card and be broke. The rest of the family will be broke. So continue here, and it will not detract from the dignity of the wife to yield to him who she has chosen to be her counselor, advisor, and protector. The husband should maintain his position in his family with all meekness, yet with decision. You know, in this world, like if a man is become meek in Christ, you know how often the world will see us. They see us as weak. Hey man, you're so weak. You're not the man. You know, just because you're obeying what the Lord says, it's the opposite world we live in. It says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. That's Ephesians 5, chapter 5, verse 22. Some have asked, continue the paragraph here, some have asked the question, Must I be on guard and feel a restraint upon me continually? I have been shown that we have a great work before us to watch ourselves with jealous care and search our own hearts. You know, I search our own hearts because there's a Bible verse in the Proverbs, for out of it are the issues of life. So we are to guard our own hearts and make sure that we are in line in the Word of God. And to continue, and know wherein we fail, then guard ourselves upon that point. We must have perfect control of our own spirit. He that offended not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Yeah, that's why we always pray to God, please bridle our tongue. It bridles the whole body. That's from James. That's from chapter 3, verse 2 of James, in the book of James. Continue. The light that shines upon our path, the truth that commends itself to our consciences, will condemn and destroy or sanctify and transform the soul. You know, when we study the Word of God, that's what transforms the soul. Now, the fruit of the Spirit that gives us the, you know, those two, the two olive trees, you know, the two witnesses. This in the book of Zechariah chapter 4, when it talks about the, you know, the pipe that goes down, the oil goes, the Holy Spirit is the oil that goes down, you know, the chapter, the oil goes down, and that's how we receive the, in the Holy Spirit, the oil. I continue here. We live too near to the close of probation to be content with superficial work. And we cannot just say, oh, I just attend the Sabbath every week and pray three times a day and that's it. It takes more than that. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sister Denise. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 to 4. Yeah, that verse. And thank you, Brother Mel, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. Yeah. In regards to the wife should be giving reverence to husband. So, our faith must be increased, and we must be more like Christ in conduct and disposition in order to endure and successfully resist the temptations of Satan. The grace of God is sufficient for every follower of Christ. So, the Lord says this in His Word, my grace is sufficient for thee. And the reason why we are having trouble sometimes is because we do not do what He says. It's not because it's impossible for us to do. It is very possible that Lord, because the Lord says it, it will be possible because He did it. He did us by example living down here 2,000 years ago, showing us how to completely in obedience to the Word of God. So, paragraph 10 here, our efforts must be earnest and persevering to resist the attacks of Satan. He employs his strength and skill in trying to turn us out of the right way. He watches our going out and coming in and intends to hurt or destroy us. So, from, you know, how Satan attacks us from we go doing the work, whatever work it may be. When we go to sleep, He attacks us. He attacks our dreams. You know, when He attacks us using family members or anybody outside your home, at work. So we are in this battle, and we are to put our guard daily by using the Word of God. Continue. He works most successfully in darkness, enduring those who are ignorant of His devices. He could not gain advantage if his method of attack was understood. The instruments he employs to effect his purposes and transmit his fiery darts are often the member of our own families. You know, the Bible verse in, I think it's chapter 7 of Micah, and there's another one in Matthew. You know, our own family will be, our own enemy will be the man of our own house. See how much troubles and heartaches family members give to us, but we love them. So a couple more three more paragraphs here, and we should be done. Paragraph 10, those we love may speak or act unguardly, which may wound us deeply. It was not their intention to do this, but Satan magnifies their words and acts before the mind in a manner by which he hurls a dart from his quiver to pierce us. We brace ourselves to resist the one whom we think has injured us, and thus we encourage Satan's temptations. Instead of praying to God for strength to resist Satan, we suffer our happiness to be marred by trying to stand for what we term our rights. This is very common in our day, in our time, maybe before too. So when someone offends you, we're trying to let our emotions, sometimes our emotion overtaking us, and like, this guy is wrong. Like, for example, you're driving in the freeway and this guy overtake you wrongfully. You know he's already wrong in doing so. But are you gonna rack up your engine and just overtake that guy just to prove that you're right? Or just, for example, the people who make videos and trying to prove that they're right and we're wrong. Hey, we're not in competition here. Do what the Lord will have you do. Well, we will do what the Lord will have you do, and do what the Lord will have you do. So, for those who are attacking us. So it is our sometimes letting go is the best thing to do. You know, if you're in a road rage, if somebody yells at you at work, just be quiet and turn around. If you cannot handle it, that's the best thing to do. So continuing here, in thus doing, we allow Satan a double advantage. We act out our aggrieved feelings, and by taking this course, Satan uses us as his agents to wound and distress those who did not intend to injure us. The requirements of the husband may sometimes seem unreasonable to the wife, if she should take the second view of the matter in a favorable light for him as possible. If she would calmly, candid consider, she would see that to yield her own way and submit to the judgment of her husband, and if it conflicted with her feelings, would save them both from unhappiness and would give them great victory over the temptations of Satan. I saw that the enemy would either contend for the usefulness of the life of the godly, and will try to mar their peace as long as they live in this world, but his power is limited. He may cause the furnace to be heated, but Jesus and angels will watch the trusting Christian. We will see how the mercies of Christ is being with us daily. Sometimes he suffers us to experience such things because of our own mistake, just to let us see, oh, you should not be doing this. You should be doing my way instead of your own way. Yeah, continuing, that nothing may be consumed but the dross. The fire kindled by Satan can have no power to destroy or hurt the true metal. You know, the true metal, you know, being true Christians. And the base metal are those, the Isaiah 4 verse ones. It is important to close every door possible against the entrance of Satan. It is the privilege of every family so to live that Satan cannot take advantage of anything that may say or do to tear each other down. Each member of the family should bear in mind that all have just as much as they can do to resist our wily foe. And with earnest prayers and unyielding faith, they must rely upon the merits of the blood of Christ and claim his saving strength. the powers of darkness gather about the soul and such Jesus from our sight. And at times we can only wait in sorrow and amazement until the cloud passes over. These seasons are sometimes terrible. Hope seems to fail, and despair seizes upon us. In these dreadful hours, we must learn to trust. So most of us here are now experiencing severe trials. Some of the brothers or sisters sharing their own Bible studies in regard to severe trials in the family. So this is the best time for us to put our trust in the Lord, to depend on the soul of the merits of the atonement, and in all our hopeless unworthiness, cast ourselves upon the merits of the crucified and risen Savior. We shall never perish while we do this. Never. When light shines on our pathway, it is no great thing to be strong in the strength of grace, but to wait patiently in hope. When all is dark, when clouds envelop us, requires faith and submission, which causes our will to be swallowed up in the will of God. We are to quickly discourage, earnestly cry for the trial to be removed from us, when we should plead for patience. When we should plead for patience to endure, and grace to overcome. For example, when we are stuck inside of the tunnel, and the tunnel was very long, and we all know that light is at the end of the tunnel. Let's put it this way: the tunnel that's dark is the world, and we need to keep walking the tunnel instead of being discouraged. Sometimes when we become discouraged, we sat down, stop studying God's word, distrusting God, doubting Him. So that prevents us from walking towards the end of the tunnel. If we should keep walking in the tunnel, and the light becomes apparent, little and little. You know the book of Jeremiah, when it talks about the expected end. God will do all the part that He promised us. We just have to do our part by trusting Him and obeying Him. Last paragraph here: without faith, it is impossible to please God. We can have the salvation of God in our families, but we must believe for it, live for it, and have a continual abiding in faith and trusting God. We must subdue a hasty temper and control our words. And in this we shall gain great victories. Unless we control our words and temper, we are slaves to Satan. We are in subjection to him. He leads us captive. All these jangling and unpleasant, impatient, fretful words are an offering presented to his satanic majesty. Did we all hear that? All these jangling and unpleasant, impatient, fretful words are an offering presented to his satanic majesty. So it's an offering to Satan. That's like an equivalent to a blood sacrifice every time we get angry. That's a very dangerous thing to do. And it is a costly offering, more costly than any offering we can make to God. For it destroys the peace and happiness of whole families, destroys health, and is eventually the cause of forfeiting an eternal life of happiness. The restraints God's word imposes upon us is for our own interests. It increases the happiness of our families and all around us. It refines our tastes, sanctifies our judgment, and brings peace of mind, and in the end, everlasting life. Under this holy restraint, we shall increase in grace and humility, and it will become easy to speak right. The natural, passionate temper will be held in subjection. An indwelling Savior will strengthen every hour. The ministering angels will linger in our dwellings with joy, and with joy carry the tidings of our advance in the divine life heavenward, and the angel will make a cheerful, happy record. Last verse, there's a verse, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So that concludes the study tonight, and I hope and pray that you are blessed with the study tonight. If you all can kneel, please do so. We're going to go close out in prayer. Please bow your hearts. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for blessing us with this beautiful spirit of prophecy, inspired writings. Thank you, Lord, for teaching us daily and for guiding us. Please forgive us for our impatience. Forgive us for our pridefulness, if sometimes we may have done something, said something like that in the past to our beloved ones. Please help us to keep your commandments, in word, in deed, and the way we conduct ourselves with our neighbors. Please bridle our tongue, especially this Sabbath day, our eyes and minds, and please help us to only glorify you this Sabbath day. And please bless all our prayer requests only with accordance to your perfect will. We are so thankful, Father, for the patience and the long-suffering and mercy that you've given us, and the happiness and the peace in Jesus. And please forgive those who are trying to tear us down, for they do not know what they do. And we pray that they repent one day. And when we offer this prayer into to the best of our ability, in the name of our Savior and King, our righteousness, Jesus Christ, our King. Amen.